meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight.
Hello.
Darkness Falls is her new movie, which is number one at the box office as of last weekend. And this is Emma's it's your first feature film?
It is my first feature film.
Oh, baby.
I know.
Nice.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. Number
good
one
times.
At number one. Yeah.
Good times.
Good times. I got to apologize real fast before we get started. My mouth is numb from the dentist today.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, please, no.
Did you have something removed?
No, you know, I had something that was much worse than I thought it was going to be. I had my teeth whitened today.
Mm. Oh.
And again, I blame society because, as I've said, I need a publicist to do to do battle with other people's crappy publicists.
Yes, you have to get your teeth whitened because everybody else has whitened teeth.
Yes, if there was no publicist, then what's her name? The Noxzema chick who ran over the Mexican in her SUV wouldn't have to go on to Kilbourne before me.
Right.
But she's got to go on before me because her publicist cuts a deal with Kilbourne, and now I need a publicist to do battle with publicist?
Rebecca Gayhart.
Rebecca Gayhart's publicist. You see? Same with attorneys. Mm-hmm. Same with teeth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't understand. You had to be they had to numb your mouth?
This guy said, you know, they put like acid on it and they shoot it with a laser beam or something. You know, they hit it with the light, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, why you got to numb my mouth for? And he said, well, otherwise, after about 20 minutes, it gets uncomfortable and starts burning and stuff. And you got to do it over, you know, it's three hours in the chair with this lightsaber, giving oral to a lightsaber. So I was like, all right, well, you know, numb it up. And he goes, it's going to be a little bit different because we got to do your whole mouth. And I said, nah, I've had the Novocaine before. And he said, no, you've had it one spot. Then we're going to do the whole mouth.
Okay.
And he did the whole mouth.
With shots, injections?
Yeah, like about 11, 14 shots. Good and it's like my nostrils were flapping shut. Like I was like a camel. I was walking around like, I mean, I couldn't move. Stuff was sliding, you know, slipping down. It was weird. I tried to smoke a cigarette when I got home. It was impossible. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. You put a cigarette around and you go, oh.
Wait, when did you do this? What time?
This is like 3 in the afternoon.
Oh,
so I took my finger and I tried to mash my mouth around. And I start choking and stuff.
Whatever it's worth, I think you're performing at a very high level.
Oh, my God. Oh please. God. Did you?
Sorry, I was just working out.
What about sweat? Did you do anything that I...
What's that? Oh, yeah, Drew. Yeah, Drew got me to drugs, yeah.
Did you
right,
do
we're
that?
Good. I took half of one. Feel good.
All right.
I got it. Drew, don't do your stupid code thing. I wanted Drew to get me some pep pills because I got to do Howard Stern tomorrow, and I got to get up at 3 a.m.
Nice.
And I got to do 5 hours or something. I'm going to bed at 1:30, so Drew got me a little industrial-grade blow. And I'm going to need some pep. But let's talk about Emma.
Oh, boy.
I'm getting all fired up here. All right, let's talk about this movie, Darkness Falls.
Yeah.
What is it? What's it about?
it's a scary movie, you know? Just a good old-fashioned scary movie. Old school scary movie.
This is the one with the kid that if he's exposed to light or dark or
No, not if he's exposed to light. He's the tag is that you won't fall victim to this woman's curse if you stay in the light. So oh God.
That's not as scary as my dentist.
For the listening audience, he just whipped out some pictures of me on FHM.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Those are good pictures.
In my underwear.
You're not embarrassed, are you?
No. I'm quite proud of those pictures, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't I be?
I always love the quotes. If I were whipping off my top for some gratuitous reason, I probably would. It says,
taken out of context.
I know they always do that. There was. Do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a husband?
Boyfriend.
Oh, you do. Okay, mm-hmm. But you can't talk about him when you do these things, right?
Oh, well, what do you mean?
Like when you do these FHM type magazine interviews and stuff like that.
Uh-uh.
No.
No. Well, I don't know. Depends on what they ask. All I
right.
mean.
I don't think they want to go there, though. Devil woman. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Drew.
Born 1973.
Holy yeah. Christ.
Oh, Adam.
I got cavities older than that, as is my dentist was pointing out to me. Hey, you know what they did today, too? You know I got my problem with dentistry etiquette, Drew? Mm. I'm sorry, Emma.
It's okay.
Whenever I hate the dentist. I have a lot of things I'd like to change about the dentist.
I haven't been to the dentist in, I think, 2 years.
Good girl.
I fear them.
Good girl. This guy was like Mr. Beverly Hills teeth whitener guy.
Yeah.
First off, this guy, his entire office is chock. He's an amateur photographer. It's chock full of before and after pictures of dentistry. Mm. After pictures, not so bad. Before, especially when they're in so tight that you couldn't recognize the person. I mean,
vomit.
just the mouth. You
vomit.
See the bottom of the mouth. Yeah. It's repugnant.
Yeah, it's vomit, yeah.
And everywhere you look.
Yeah.
And it's like, I had explained to him that people weren't as enamored with teeth as he was, possibly. But he did this thing where He has like the light emitting scope that he puts in your mouth so you can see, has the ultra high beam in there, and it shows up on the monitor. Mm-hmm. They go, here's what's going on in your mouth. And before you know, like, I'm always like, hey, listen, I'll take your word for it, Pops. I don't need to see what's going on. I don't need to see what's going on up my ass. I don't see what's going on in my mouth. I assume it's not going to be a good thing. It's not. You're going to see foamy spit and some corn and some fillings and stuff. And they're like, yeah, let me get you in there. So he sticks in there, and I'm looking up at the thing, and he goes, you see the gray spots around that? You see the discoloration on it? You see what the, but his nurse pipes up at a certain point. He goes, you see that gray, the graying around the edge of the tooth there? And I hear his nurse goes, wow. I thought, that's horrible etiquette, is it not?
Well, what was the grain?
Whatever. My mouth, like, someone just put an M80 in it and start over. It's all bad.
She didn't say, oops.
I know, but you know what these guys do? Here's what they do. They do what the Middle Eastern guy does when he wants to buy your 9-year-old Honda out of the recycler. They walk by. Oh, what is this? Oh, this is a dent here, huh? Yes, what happened here? This is no good. You know, and they drive around, you know, they go, how many miles is, oh, the oil is no good. And they just, what they do is try to kick the crap out of the car so they can knock a few $100 off the price. This is what the dentist does with the scope in your mouth. What is this?
Except he adds money.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
Adds,
he,
you know,
yeah, he's
more
whatever
expensive,
it is.
The more he finds.
He's,
wrong with you?
Whatever
oh,
it is,
no.
he's going
actually,
his direction.
We got gray lining.
He's right.
Preparing you for the sticker price when it's all done. Right?
Yeah. What is this?
It's gonna be what it's gonna be.
What is? What did you? Do you sleep with Jawbreaker in mouth? What is this? His nurse is in the back. His nurse is in the back, like when Martin Luther King would give a speech, you know, and he'd be like, "I've been to the mountain." Oh yeah, that's her thing. Yeah. His thing's like, I've seen the gray, and she's like, hallelujah. All right, true.
Yeah.
Let's get to these calls.
But yes,
Drew, would you look at my coffee, please? And have you ever seen coffee that color before?
A lot of cream.
Little light.
Yeah. Ryan, it's really, I like about 50-50 coffee cream. You're up to 70 cream. Now, this is coffee that I make the proclamation that I need super ultra gay coffee or
well, you've said you wanted the milk. You made a big deal about the milk. Maybe you thought you liked the milk.
All right,
here we go.
All right, sorry. All right.
Remember when I said that?
I don't even know what name
that medicine can make you irritable.
Shut up.
Remember I said that?
Shut up.
You know what I'm talking about?
Shut up.
Twyla?
Yeah.
What's up?
Sorry, I never knew it was so hard to talk on Loveline. I'm having trouble reaching an orgasm when I'm not in missionary position.
Okay.
I can reach an orgasm absolutely perfectly fine when I'm in missionary position, but other than that, like...
To be able to have an orgasm during intercourse at 17 is unusual, so you're way ahead of your peers.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, way ahead.
Yeah, you don't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
No, you guys never talk about that, you and your peer friends?
I have a lot of straight-edge friends.
They don't have a lot of sex?
Right.
I see. You got a boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
You guys in love?
Yes.
All right.
Is he your first?
Oh, no.
What?
Is he your first?
No.
All right. No, but you're in love. You using protection?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Huh?
What are you using for contraception?
Condoms.
All right. Very good.
Good girl.
You may want to just get on the pill at this point.
Or keep the morning after pill around just in case there's a failure of the condom. Just, it's always good to have it just in case.
Mm-hmm.
All right, don't worry. It's good. You're way ahead, way, way ahead. And I suspect, I'm looking through my crystal ball, given that she's already ahead of the curve, that as the sort of more normal development sets in, she'll start having orgasms start falling out other ways too. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me say one more thing regarding
dentist.
Not teeth, but business in general. A lot of people listen to the show. I've run into a lot of this with businesses, small businesses, even medium and large businesses. You know that answer that always drives me nuts when I ask for something and they say, yeah, everybody likes it. Everyone wants one of those. And then I go, well, your business, that's what you need to do that now. I have the discussion with every dentist I go to, which is, you know when they spray that freezing cold mm-hmm. stream water all over your sensitive teeth when your gums are all peeled back and everything? And it's really, it always seems colder than what comes out of the tap. But I know it's not. It's just very, very painful if your teeth are sensitive mm-hmm. and they've been worked on. I always say to the dentist, why don't you get a little heater? Let me heat up that water a little bit. Make it nice and lukewarm. Be much, much more comfortable. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, everybody asked for that. And I thought, there you go. That's what you got to listen to. Anybody owns a business, every time someone gives you the everyone asked, if you answer everyone asked for that, that's what you need to do. Just like my 50-50 shawarma plate over at the Zanku Chicken. Right, Drew?
That's right. Cannot have.
No. Fallon?
Hi, this is Fallon.
Uh-oh.
Hi, first off, I just want to say it's a privilege and honor to meet both of you.
True, please.
What's up, Fallon?
Hi, I just had a couple quick drug-related questions to the doctor.
Yeah?
I was just wondering what the immediate effects of shooting heroin are, the immediate effects of snorting Oxycontin are, and how much heroin you'd have to shoot to overdose.
You're a heroin addict.
Different.
No, sir, please. I've never tried
it. It's different for different people. It depends whether you're tolerant to it or not, and it depends on your body size.
Okay.
So it's a very, I mean, you know, a small person, a couple grams of heroin could really be it. And depends on the purity of the heroin.
Yeah.
Is now what is it? But you mean by immediate effects? Well, it's a pain. It's a pain blocking medication.
You mean Oxycontin?
Yeah, both heroin and Oxycontin. It creates a little euphoria. Sometimes a lot of euphoria. It creates sedation.
Okay,
and it's an opiate.
Okay,
pain blocking.
Yes, sir.
I'm not quite sure what you're looking for. What is it you're sort of expecting?
I just want to know what it would feel like immediately after you were to do those particular.
Well, if you're set up for addiction, if you have a family history of alcoholism, those people tend to have a preponderance of opioid receptors in the brain called mu receptors, and there are at least four, many, probably half a dozen or two, even more, receptors for opiates in the brain, and you can have different mixes in different brains. And alcoholic addicts tend to have a preponderance of the mu receptors, which are the ones that cause euphoria when they're saturated. So an addict, when they take Oxycontin or when they're shooting heroin, will feel great.
Right.
And some people might feel like absolute crap, start vomiting. I've had people come in sobbing and depressed.
Call those lightweights.
And Adam calls them lightweights.
Yeah.
But it depends on the sort of your particular genetic predisposition and what your biological makeup is.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand. Thank you.
You're not going to do any drugs anyway, right, Fallon?
I plan on it.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Which ones are you going to do?
Probably Oxycontin, heroin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Godspeed.
Well, the problem with those two drugs is that they can cross the threshold into addiction very quickly.
I mean,
addiction is about throwing a switch in your reward centers, basically, and you can throw that switch with relatively little exposure to those drugs.
Same people would be down for both or either for the most part.
Yep.
Seems to me that the pain-killing drugs have a wide and universal appeal almost. That. All right, don't give me the no yet, please.
Go ahead.
Because I'm always right. Am I right? Yeah. Are you right about me?
No, you're right. You're always all right. I'm always right that you're always right.
It seems like people, and maybe we got into this argument before, but it seems like people who did not have the so much of the pre, weren't your more traditional drug users, recently easily got on to the painkiller stuff.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. If you have the gene for alcoholism, you're going to like opiates, and it can easily throw that switch into the disease.
And recently, like this, I don't know if these are celebrities, even some people I know, just people that aren't naturally, weren't into other drugs, made it into the 30s without getting into stuff.
Yeah, people
had a back injury or something and then found they really dug this.
Oh, it happens all the time. I mean, it's iatrogenic. It's medically induced addiction. And we cause it by giving you good pain-blocking medication for a week, and then, power, you've got addiction after that.
I know. I need something. My mouth's killing me. Yeah, Emma? You doing drugs?
No.
No?
No. But I do understand the allure of pain relievers. I had some problems. Long story, but I was on some very hardcore, or well, I guess they're hardcore, Percocet and Vicodin, you know, triplet sort of drugs, and they're fun.
They're yummy, yeah.
They're fun. It's
not for
it's,
everybody.
It's,
you have to have that particular makeup, and when you have it, it feels extra good. And once that again, once that drive gets activated, right. It ain't going away.
No, I'm lucky. I've never had a problem like that, but I know a lot of people do. It's scary. You never know, too. That's a strange thing. I mean, it's like you said, you know, you can go your whole life or whatever, and then you have a back injury, and all of a sudden you're hooked on Vicodin.
It's like everyone is awoken the drug addict in them at age, you know, 35.
If you have an alcoholic within one generation, consider yourself 50% at risk, and so be very, very careful with those opiates.
Yeah, now
and benzodiazepines, the Xanax medicines, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's my thing.
I know it is.
That's what I like. Yeah. I like that sleep. Yeah. I like the downer stuff. Right. I like the mellow out. And actually, everyone likes me to mellow out, too.
I bet.
It's really ironic. It's really win-win.
It's a little ironic. You kind of have an engine that's not idle all the time.
Does Xanax work right away? Is it not like a...
Very fast-acting.
Really?
Ultra fast acting, but also ultra quickly addicting too.
Yeah, that's right. Give me some of that. I didn't like the Vicodin that much. Didn't do much for me. Had to hit it with a little booze, you know, in order to, you know, kick it in.
Didn't like the Starship Vicodin. Didn't do it for you.
didn't do me up too good. I don't know. Well, you know what? I'd been hearing about it on this show for a long time, and I never tried it. And then I got some hand surgery. And the guy gave me some Vicodin, and I was like, all right, here we go. Let the good times begin. And then it was like, it was like a movie that had been hyped up for too long. You didn't see it when it was in the theater, and you finally rented it 2 years later, and you're sitting at home, and you're like going, it's not so good. That's what Vicodin was for me. I give it like half a thumb up. Jessica?
Uh-huh.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
Oof.
Ooh, got that girly voice.
Yeah, do you want to gamble?
How are you guys tonight?
We're good.
Awesome. Good. A, B, C, D. I guess I'm just having a problem finding, like, relationships. I'm a virgin, and I guess you can say I'm very sensual. I'm pretty open. I masturbate a lot, watch a lot of porn, and...
What do you mean a lot?
Like, 4 times a day.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's not sensual. That's compulsive.
It's a little light. Oh, yeah, right. I mean, that's a lot. Wow. Whoa.
And especially at 17. So,
17.
And you've got
that
voice that we identify with early traumas. So have you been watching porn since you were like 5?
No, like 12.
12. Anything happened before that?
I don't know my birth dad, and my mom had married another guy, and I guess there was, like, a lot of fighting in the house and separation from parents, and my mom was always in Miami working.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not enough to really...
No sexual abuse?
No.
Hmm.
And any bipolar illness in your family, manic depression?
My mom is bipolar.
Okay, this may be early manifestations of that for you, all this compulsive sexuality, because that's part of manias, usually. Super sexual. So, got to be careful with that. If you start having long periods of time where you don't need to sleep and you think you kind of figured everything out and you're feeling very expansive, got to be careful.
Yeah.
Okay. And you said you run after older guys?
No, I guess I kind of attract them.
How old?
Like, maybe between 18 and 24.
All right. You're not doing anything with these guys?
No, like, I've only, like, received and given oral before, but...
How dare you, Adam? Snicker at that.
Yeah. I thought these were, like, just double penetration and things like that. I didn't know it was just giving and receiving oral. That's quaint.
But I guess I kind of frustrate them because... I just get a lot of guys that are really horny and just want to screw, and I kind of want to get into a relationship, but I'm not.
All right, well, hold your ground. Because that's all guys. You're just describing males.
You're attractive. Even Drew, as you know from listening to the show, is a man of great passion. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
I'm moving right along.
Are you attractive, Jessica?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, so you're holding the cards, right?
Uh-huh.
All right, well, enjoy the cards for another 15 years.
But can I ask a question?
Then you got to fold.
Where did you find this porn to watch?
I guess just friends.
Oh, just friends?
Like the first time, it was in my dad's drawer, and, yeah, that's when I kind of started sneaking watching porn, and then...
And how old were you?
12.
All right.
Yeah, young kids will respond to various kinds of trauma with sexual kinds of self-stimulation, that kind of thing. But I think if we dug in harder to Jessica, we'd find more trauma there than she even remembers.
She was getting to the dad, absent dad, and the kind of goofy stepdad.
The abusive,
and mom,
the violence in the home.
Mom going to Miami.
I think we're going to hear about the police coming and that kind of thing if we really got the stories.
Well, she's calling from Florida.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
And no judgment based on this whatsoever. It's just general curiosity. If that was a guy and he was masturbating four times a day, would that trigger some sort of, oh, that's compulsive,
you'd,
or is it?
Four times a day, less so. It's not. It's more within the range of usual male behaviors, biologically.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd not question it, yeah. If he said it twice a day, we wouldn't comment. But
yeah.
Four times a day.
Okay. But, there's certain things,
I think she had the voice. That's what really got me going with her.
Yeah, we got going.
What was that voice?
Little girl mm-hmm. voice means trauma. At that age, mm-hmm. at the age that they sound like. Some sound, there's a difference between 3-year-old sounding 17-year-olds and 9-year-old sounding 17-year-olds.
She was sort of 7-8-year-olds.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. means that the trauma was, something was probably around that era. But it could have just been, the total chaos at the house and bipolar mom and all that stuff. All right, should we take a break?
Sure.
Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight, and she's got a movie out, which is number 1 at the box office called Darkness Falls.
Thanks.
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
Hey, hey, hey. What's up? This is Wesley
and Greg
from Puddle of Mud, and you're listening to Love Line with Dr. Drew and Adam. Keep it up. Keep it up.
Corolla.
Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Dr. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-E-1. Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight. Emma's currently in Darkness Falls. She's having a good time over there trying to get her headphones worked out.
I'm stuck. I'm like tangled in the cord.
Darkness Falls, number one movie at the box office last year, knocking off the perennial champion last week.
Kangaroo Jack?
Yep. Yeah. I think the Zapruder films could have beat Kangaroo Jack this week, though. But number one is number one.
Thanks for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Kangaroo Jack was ripe for the picket. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you didn't have a juggernaut there, but there's still. It's not like it's just you or Kangaroo Jack's. A lot of movies that weren't number one.
That's right. Kangaroo Jack beat.
That's right.
We beat Chicago.
Such as
really?
Chicago.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Plus, Dangerous Mind, yeah. Lots of good movies.
To take that.
Yeah, yeah. You artsy fartsy folks, and you're singing and dancing. Oh, I got to hear. I got such an ass full of these stars, too, with their, I sung and danced for real. It's like, well, what do you do? What's your day gig? Construction worker? You're a goddamn actor. Let's start singing and dancing. Do you know what I mean? Like. Yeah. Actors, like these performers, want medals for singing and dancing. And don't get me wrong, if they sing and it's impressive, it can be impressive, but it's not that far a departure from what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, they make a big deal out of it. They're like, I did my own dancing. And it's like,
forget what James Cagney did.
Yeah, you guys have been... weren't you like you were in drama in high school, and then you went to a school for the arts?
Well, the dancing thing,
The
singing thing is a little bit more difficult. You can't fake a good voice. The dancing you can learn. You can master the steps. You can you can practice. You can learn how to do tap or ballet or jazz. You can learn that, but you can't fake a voice. So if they can actually sing and it's a feat.
Yeah, but you pick a song that's sort of within your range and you work with somebody, and it's still impressive.
Right.
But like I said, if you drove a bus, it would be impressive as actors.
No.
Uh-oh, Dr. Drew, everybody. That's Drew.
Is that really you?
Yeah. He sings deep and in Italian. What is that called, Drew? That all Italian right, singing?
Okay, enough.
What is that deep Italian
that
singing?
That was for Ben Stein. I was serenading him.
That's that opera singing, yes?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I told you he was a man of great passion. He even loves
range.
Ben Stein. Keith.
All right.
Keith, you're 20.
Hey, what's up, Adam, Drew? I'm just calling in. I'm calling in from Manhattan, and I wanted to tell you that the station you guys are on here was recently, the last day or so, it's no longer existed. They changed their format.
Wait. Anderson, why am I cutting him off?
Just get him to the point. Who cares?
Well, I'm interested in what happened to our affiliate.
But this is no way to find out, is it?
That's how we find everything out of this
Anderson,
show.
Anderson, would you shut up over there? I never know what Anderson... Here's my problem. I assume when Anderson chimes in, it's something very important.
It is.
Why else would he chime in? What? What are you talking about?
Whatever.
I don't know what's going on with the affiliate over there.
Neither do we, and we don't really like
all right, well,
talking
I like to
about
find out. I don't care. Keith?
Yeah, what's up?
Tell us what happened.
What's going on?
They changed the format. It was a talk radio station all day, and they changed the format. And I've been listening for about 7-8 years, just straight to you guys, almost daily.
We haven't been on in New York for 7 or 8 years.
Well, I came out here to go to school about 2 years ago.
Okay. All right. Where'd you move from?
Seattle.
All right.
And you guys, I mean, it's truly just, I've always done homework through junior high, high school, and now college listening to you guys.
Nice.
It's like very difficult to even know how to function without having you guys in my life.
So tonight we're off in New York?
No, they changed the format on the station. You're no longer in New York unless you find another affiliate, but I've been looking online.
So tonight we're off in New York, right?
Yeah.
No, they changed the station. That's what you're saying, though, right? We're not on in New York anymore.
Right.
There's that?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Keith.
It was a talk radio station, and now it's an R&B station.
Yeah. Keith, we understand. They changed the format.
So we're not on in New York.
We're not an R&B show. We're a talk show.
Yeah, you're not on at all anymore.
Yeah, all right. Hold on. Let me ask you guys something.
Here's his translation is. You weren't kicked off the station. The station doesn't exist.
I know. I understand. But what is it when people answer in a way that makes you think that that they didn't understand you, but they do?
Because he wants to be sure you understand his point without saying it. Which is, you weren't kicked off the station. The station doesn't exist.
Well, is he just being kind, Keith?
I'm sorry, Adam. I've listened to morons on your show.
Thank you.
You're making fun of.
It's too late. Too late.
Already.
All right, but listen. So, Keith, the station changed formats, and we're no longer on in New York.
Yeah, and I just
want
to say goodbye, and I appreciate everything. You know?
All right,
help us find a new home there.
Yeah, just do something on the internet or something. We on the internet? Oh, no. All right. Well, that'll be that. If your friends from Seattle send you tapes.
He had a question, by the way, I think.
He did?
Yeah.
See, that's just the thing. We'll be on in New York probably like in a week. Who cares? Yeah. You know, why even talk about
it? How do you know we'll be on in New York in a week?
Because we got Max, bro, right on it.
Yeah, but New York isn't hearing us talk about New York right now, so who cares?
That's a good point, too.
But everyone else has to listen to everything but New York.
Oh, shut up. Keith? Did you have a question before we never talked
Anderson
to you again?
Anderson actually is mad at me because he wouldn't let me through before when I just wanted to talk to you.
So you made it up. All right.
Yeah, all right, Keith.
We'll find a home there.
Jesus.
Keith's relentless.
Yeah.
I like him.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Lori?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yep.
What's up?
I just wanted to get on and tell the chick that she's got a really good movie going on.
Emma?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, am I on right now?
Yeah.
Hi.
Whoa! Hey, Adam. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Lori? Thanks for calling, girl.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the movie? Did you enjoy Darkness Falls?
Yeah, me and my friends were like freaking out like the whole movie.
Freaking out.
It beat yeah. Freaking Kangaroo Freaking Jack.
Oh, dude, that movie sucks.
Totally.
My kids loved it.
That's for kids. It's for kids.
Hey, I was riding my bike home last night at like 10 o'clock or something,
mm-hmm.
and I fell into this huge thorn bush. And my leg, my friends are like freaking out because we got, it looks like the chick from the movie got me. But yeah, my leg's totally jacked up. Yeah.
What movie?
The girl in the movie, Matilda.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. You're moving.
The girl in the movie got her. Not in the movie.
Oh, got me.
She got me, dude.
Oh, my God. Talk about horrible inflection.
Yeah, the girl in the movie got me.
Yeah, she said as if...
That was the name of the movie.
That's what it sounded like. All right, she all right now?
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, so it's a good movie. That's the point. That was her point. It was so good she couldn't stay on the highway.
she had to live, act it out in her life.
Right. All right.
Well, I'm glad she liked it, you know? Did it for the kids.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always think about... I always wonder, what was the budget of the movie?
$8 million.
$8 million.
Yeah.
See, this is smart. I always say this.
Good business. Yeah.
Do a scary movie. Put believable people in it that aren't necessarily household names. Yeah. It's distracting when you go, it's Jennifer Love Hewitt. I think she started dating him when they were shooting this movie in Vancouver 6 months ago. Yeah. You know, she's dating, and there's Freddie Prinze. You know, it always gets. I there's certain movies I don't mind seeing Jack Nicholson in one of his movies, mm-hmm. but then if it's like a horror movie, I know Jennifer Love Hewitt didn't get killed, like because mm-hmm. I saw her on Entertainment Tonight last week. Right. You know, I like it when it's a cast where I'm not necessarily like I said. Household names. David?
Hello.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. I'll give you some background first. About a couple weeks ago, I'd drinking, I guess, a little bit too much, and got into my phone and called up an ex-girlfriend, and this is all on tape, so I was kind of doing it as a joke, and I accidentally said, I miss you, at the end of it, and then hung up. All right. And then I didn't talk to her for the rest of the whole next week, and she kept on IMing me and stuff, and I just kind of ignored it and pretended it didn't happen. And then last week, I got drunk again, and my friend made the suggestion that if I wanted to play, I should IM her. So I did, and she wasn't there. I went to sleep, and now she's pestering me again. And I want to know a way to kind of end this situation.
You are an asshole.
Yeah, stop bugging her. Just don't communicate with her. It's all. You're being cruel now.
Yeah, I know. I know. I feel bad, but...
Yeah, I can tell.
All
right.
Yeah.
Well, it's also because I'm trying to get another girl, so...
Through you want her to broker the other girl?
No. I'm just trying. Like I'm working on another girl, and this is kind of getting in the way.
Oh God. Whatever.
How much is it getting in the way? You called her drunk last week, then you IM'd her this week, and
No, just that thing spread. You know.
I see. People would hear that you're back with your ex-girlfriend. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Just don't communicate. Just misunderstanding.
All right. Thank you.
All right, there, buddy. Bye. And just look. I haven't given the speech in a while, but. Sometimes, really, when you're young, the best thing you need to do is nothing about half the time when it comes to relationships. You always have a plan. You always have an angle. No one, you know, as Americans, we do not preach doing nothing enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have a whole college that just preach doing nothing.
Nothing you.
That would be my Scientology. Here's when we meet. Never. I want you to read no book. I am going to need some money. I would need the money to, you know, to get the advertising done and everything. But... People with relationship, when you're 17, you're 18, you always got a plan going. I'm going to call, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, then she's going to do that. Mm-hmm. When she does that, then that'll open this up. And somebody dumps you or you dump somebody and there's a lot of feelings still floating around. Just don't do anything. Don't call. It's really the sanest thing you can do is nothing. Doesn't that mean you're sane when you're in a relationship? Relationship breaks up. And just don't do anything after you break up.
Yeah, you don't get crazy. You don't get chaotic.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing to do.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you've never been saner than when you're doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Sane people are always doing something.
Unless you're insane people, not believing what's happening or not feeling anything.
Yeah, but you'd still be doing something. You got to act insane to be insane. That's what I say.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right.
What about if you want to try to be friends?
No, that's not a good idea.
Is there like a holding period where you can't talk for a while before you call?
There is. There's a six-month get-over-it period that if you're really still involved with that person, you need to give yourself. And then
it's weird because they start seeing somebody else, and now you want to hang out, and they're new in the other relationship, you know?
Men are far less evolved when it comes to stuff like that. They are really... week.
But so it's always a pain because they've been seeing someone for 4.5 weeks and now the old chick slides into the picture, the old guy slides into the picture, and who is this person? Why are they back? And why do you guys need to hang out? It's probably always a bad idea. I'd say unless you have a kid. If you got a kid, you have to have a good relationship if you break up and that kind of stuff. If not, right. Screw it. All right, Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight. Darkness Falls.
Thank you.
Name of her number one movie. And we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Parola. That is Dr. Drew. Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight. She's in Darkness Falls, number one at the box office.
Woo-hoo.
As we speak. Should be number one next week. Who's going to knock this juggernaut off? What's coming out next week? Anything?
Final Destination 2 is coming out next
week. Oh, please, 2. I'm such an idiot. I was watching a commercial for that tonight. And, you know, the whole thing's about people like, a bunch of kids almost getting killed.
What's it called?
Final. I don't want to plug it too much, but yeah. Someone backs a pickup truck into like a load of pipe, and this sharp piece of pipe comes through the window and like inches from the girl's head, and I can't even enjoy the commercial. I'm like, that's PVC pipe. That wouldn't have done any real damage to her. ABS, PVC, that wouldn't have worked. And then I started thinking, why didn't they use some copper, galvanized pipe? That would have really... And then I just realized, you're insane.
They just don't make things as well today as they used to.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Kids getting... When was the last time you heard about someone getting killed by a piece of PVC pipe? It's never happened. The history of extruded plastic. All right. Let's talk to Dante, who's 26. Dante?
Great name.
Hey, what's up, Adam, Drew, Emma? How you guys doing?
Hi.
Good.
Were you named after Dante's Inferno by any chance?
I read that, yeah.
Nice.
I read
Parody. Quite the question.
Yeah, well, no one will ever answer the question in this.
All right, what's up, Dante?
Yeah, first of all, I hope your cats do resurface in the tri-state. I guess Infinity Broadcasting has to get their stuff together. But my question is, when I was younger, I was circumcised, and I always said I was a victim of circumstance, not circumcision, because they took off the Moyle, who did the actual circumcision, took off a little too much off the shaft.
Like, hang on one second, Dante. Are you distracted by something? The Moyle?
Yeah, Moyle is like a rabbi who does the circumcisions.
All right.
What do you mean distracted by something?
I don't know. I thought that would pick up the incongruity. Somebody named Dante having a Moyle.
You're not Jewish, are you, Dante?
Yeah, I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I got to get my Jew antenna fixed because didn't pick up Dante at all. Is it Jew? True?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Drew's got to get his antenna fixed.
That's why I made him stop. I thought you'd be distracted by that.
I was, but you know, sometimes people use the guy who gives you a circumcision
generically as
a Moyle, although the Goyim does not know about the Moyle, except for me. I'm the Goyim to the Moyle, but
hip to the Moyle.
That's going to be the name of my next CD.
Okay, so what happened? What'd he do?
Over the years, I guess from having sex, it kind of stretched out, so it's exposed. So it's real sensitive.
Wait, what's
exposed?
The part where you cut off a little too much, I guess, because when I was younger, I noticed that there was like a little, I don't want to say gorge, but like a little exposed area, because it was cut too deep, so there's like, you know, underlying tissue exposed, you know what I mean?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. You mean there's sort of an indentation on the base of the penis? Underneath?
Not on the base, but like, I guess that would be the frenum, like off the
frenum
side.
But near the head?
Yeah.
And is there extra tissue there? Is like in some, like a...
Well, it's just like the inner layers.
But is it like a turkey's...
Gobbler
kind of thing?
A turkey's, huh?
All right, Dante.
I don't understand.
Well, listen, how many people know what a Moyle is and don't know what the turkey gobbler is?
Oh, you said turkey gobbler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is like that towards the head there, on the underside?
Yeah, it's on the other side.
All right, so they didn't cut enough off. They left something behind.
No, actually, it's right below that.
Wait, hold on a second. The thing I can't figure out with Dante is he keeps saying they cut off too much of the part that hangs out.
And they expose something as an indentation.
Yeah, there seems to be some math
missing. Yeah,
he's giving us sort of backwards math on the
didn't he say something about it when it's engorged?
No, he said a gorge, like
an indentation.
Oh,
yeah. I guess I'm not really good at describing this.
Well, in any way you look at it, I'm done trying to picture your penis. All right, but so the question is can you have it corrected or what?
Is there skin grafting or something I could do? Or
First, you need to find out what's going on there. I think your concept of what's happening there is not what's actually happening.
Oh, and, I'm almost positive it is, Drew. But it's just been like. It's just exposed, and it's kind of annoying sometimes because when the areas, you know,
now we got to go around again, but right. Too much of the foreskin was removed.
Yeah.
Is that where we're starting off from?
Exactly.
And it cut away the skin, and now you have basically the cavernous bodies exposed?
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Okay. And there's some nerves there that are easily irritated, making it uncomfortable.
There you go.
All right.
Now I can picture your door.
are you happy now, Dante?
And then what about is skin grafts?
I'm happy that I'm picturing.
That's what I'm saying.
What about that down there?
Boy.
I think he's just going to have to see a urologist who specializes in this kind of stuff, landmine reconstruction
and
stuff.
What they do is like a flap. They'll just re-incise it and flap it back together and cover it all up. That's something probably pretty easy, Dante, much easier than you might think, and if it's what I'm picturing. And so, yeah, if it's affecting your sexual functioning, by all means, take care of that.
Yeah. There's a fair amount of circumcision.
Mishaps.
Botches and mishaps and things like that. And there's got to be urologists who sort of specialize in this sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'd get into if I was in the
doubt. No doubt.
Jake?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have before and after pictures all over the wall of your surgical arena.
Please. With then these things are 2 foot by 2 foot, and big glossy color shots of... So this one guy must have been like...
Well, let's set it up. It's an hour since we've talked about this.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
I was at the dentist today, and I know I sound like a pussy complaining about my teeth cleaning. I didn't complain this much when I had my root canal. This is worse. My mouth is all numbed up. My teeth are killing me. I had this chick with a laser saber.
I
want to
do this. Sounds fun.
It
sounds interesting. The way you describe it sounds enticing.
Are you done with it now?
Way.
Are you going back?
Yeah, I'm done.
You're done. It's one
I'm
shot
done.
Deal.
I can't get the front teeth any wider. Want to know? By the way, I always have a list of insulting questions they ask me. This time, I want to know if I had any trauma about the face. That's like. Did you get hit around the face a lot? Did you get in an accident or something?
Salminio, what's
going
on?
No. Where's this going, by the way? Really? Last time it was that, do I chew tobacco? Do I suck on mints? It's never good. When the dentist starts asking questions, it's always bad.
There's a lot of judgment in dentists.
I find there is.
Because you never brush enough. You never floss enough.
Yes.
You know, you drink too much coffee, too much tea, too much wine.
Right.
You smoke.
And these guys do a lot of, and they're like a forensic scientist, too. They're in your mouth. They're like, you're a toffee man, yes? Toffee? No. We must chew a lot of, no, really. And I like when they're puzzled, too. No sugary gums, no mints. You don't fall asleep with a sack of brown sugar in your mouth. No. Oh, and that thing where they put it up on the screen with the. Anyway, this guy had a lot of.
Well, it's
after
everything you've been
pictures.
Asking for, Adam. Advancements in the technology of dentistry.
No,
you've seen you've been there. You've been to the promised land.
I don't even see it's in my mouth. I want them to heat the goddamn water that they're spraying on my teeth. That's the advancement.
Yes.
Oh boy. All right. Where were we?
Two.
Fired up here, Drew.
Real quick. You know. Katie?
Hello?
18. What's up, Katie?
Hi.
Hey.
So, I'm an IV drug user, and I have two quick questions about that.
Fabulous. Why don't you take care of that, Katie?
I'm sorry?
Take care of that. My God.
My first question is, what are the risks of just injecting drugs, period? I've heard that it's, like, bad for your heart and stuff.
Mostly infectious diseases. You're injecting bacteria and all kinds of things can get stuck on your heart valves. You can cause kidney diseases and kidney failure. You can cause strokes. You can cause emboli to the lungs. Some of that stuff that the heroin's mixed with or whatever you're injecting gets stuck in the lungs and cause chronic change. There's a list about a mile long of medical problems from shooting drugs.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
And it is inevitable.
Yeah.
It's not you can get these things. You always get these things.
Okay. Wow. All right. And my second question is... what the risks are of using cocaine and alcohol?
Well, it's turned out there's some good evidence that cocaine with alcohol actually is turned into a novel compound, a new compound called cocaethylene.
Yeah.
And cocaethylene actually is a longer-acting, more powerful binding cocaine with a lot more cardiac side effects. So your risk of sudden cardiac death and major cardiac problems are up from cocaethylene.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Hey, I want to tell Adam that I graduated from high school two years early, went to a community college for 1 year, graduated with an associate's degree, and transferred into a UC as a junior at 18.
When did the heroin start?
So I kicked out of that community college right away.
But didn't the heroin start in community college?
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Where'd you start chasing the dragon? That'd be community college.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's so. See, that would teach you something. All right.
Please take care of that, Katie.
I'm sorry?
People that shoot IV drugs through their 20s never see 50.
Oh, God.
No.
That's the way.
But they see 51. they go from 49 to 51. So don't worry about it.
All right.
50 is no big deal anyway.
Yeah, right. What do you need 50 for?
You don't need 50. You cruise right through to 90.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, baby.
All right, thank you, guys.
Yeah, good times. Good times. Ooh. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight. Yeah. Anderson wants a little more DJ out of me tonight. Darkness Falls. That's the name of her new joint. Number one, thank you very much. Box office last week. Hanging on tight. All right, let's get back to the phones. What do you say, huh? Drew?
Yeah.
You know what I'm this close to doing, brother?
Dropping trap.
All right, let's have that phone be Jake.
Yeah.
What's happening, brother?
Not much. I been able to suck my dick for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
Oh.
Wait, what did I just hear?
That is a bogus question.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. Sorry, Jake. We find your call to be sophomoric and bogus.
All right. I seriously can, though.
Oh, yeah? How do you do it?
Basically, I can get down on my bed, and I just go on my back, and I can arc over.
Yeah, kick your legs over the top?
Yeah.
All right. I'll buy that. And do you swallow, or?
When I'm on my bed, I can't spit it out, so, I mean, I swallow it then.
You actually have an orgasm there?
Yeah.
Wow, that's the circle of life there, Drew. And then do you eat your own dookie as well? Or?
No, I don't do that.
Interesting.
Complete in the circle.
He's got to be pretty well endowed if he can actually reach it. Even in that position,
I'm guessing no spine.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm pretty small, but I'm flexible.
You're flexible. Yeah. That's where my money was. And let me ask you, Jake.
Yeah.
First off, just having an inverted orgasm is not something I've done since camping, actually. It's a long story.
Right, I don't want to hear it.
But it would seem like that position would be uncomfortable for to be in a prolonged period of time. Do you have to get yourself up to the point and then flip yourself over to finish yourself off?
How do you breathe?
Yeah.
How do I breathe? Through my nose very carefully. I usually I have to work it up before I can do that because, yeah, it does hurt.
Yeah, you get yourself going and you get yourself to about the 7/8 part. It's sort of the kettle has been on the flame for a while. It's not quite whistling yet, but it's getting there. And then you flip it over.
Right.
Nice.
Does he think of himself?
Who do you think of?
Well,
you picture some other dude's penis in your mouth, or
no? Actually, I don't know what I picture. I just do it.
Uh huh. And how is it? Because you can't really look at porn or anything, can you?
No. Actually, I can look at it upside down.
You look at porn upside down?
Yeah.
Why like would you need to look at it upside down?
You look at a TV.
Well, he's upside down, so.
Yeah.
Isn't he just
I'm upside
arms
down.
His legs
I'm looking at it upside
his...
down.
Are you looking through your legs? Or your head is your head hanging back, or are you looking past your balls?
I am looking through my legs. I'm kind of in that yogic position with the legs over your head.
I've had enough.
Oh, all right. So
enough.
And really, you don't no qualms about finishing in your own mouth, huh?
It's kind of weird, but
yeah,
not really.
Yeah, and you swallow, huh?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, and you notice any difference? We get this call a lot, you know, as far as diet goes. Nothing.
No, not really.
All right. Well, there you
this
go.
This would be the guy to actually
Man's
do
a
the,
scientist,
wow.
yeah.
This would be the guy to do the wow. testing for us.
Yeah,
it?
Drink a bunch of pineapple juice tomorrow, blow yourself, and call us back.
And then have
right?
some asparagus the next
all
time.
Right.
Oh.
Let us know.
All right. Darkness Falls in theaters this week, everybody.
Evan Caulfield, proud to be a guest tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that. I do love myself, but I just couldn't do that.
This just seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
It does.
A lot of effort for you know?
Yeah. I know. It's like, what, this guy doesn't have a dog? I mean, I can't believe he's doing this to himself. Yeah.
Let's get a call for Emma now, huh?
All right.
Good times, huh?
Chris?
Good times.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
You got a call. You have a question for Emma?
No.
Yeah. First, I just want to say that she did a great job in the movie.
Thanks.
Yeah, and then second, I want to ask if she'd also seen the movie They by Wes Craven.
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, it's almost exactly the same plot. I'm just wondering.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Yeah, they ripped off Wes Craven.
How do you guys, or why is it that movies come out like that? Like they did The Ring and Fear.com at the same time?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where scripts go around and somebody buys an idea and they hear, oh, that idea was bought, so it must be good, so let's do our own version of it, and then it's a race to see who can get out the project first.
The lemming mentality that the rest of the world cannot understand, I suppose.
It's a bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know?
But you enjoyed the movie, right?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was much better than They.
Well, thank you.
All right, well, you see, you as the consumer wins when everyone tries to steal your money.
I felt almost kind of cheated when I realized what was happening, but it was better actually.
All right.
Apparently, well, I didn't mean to cheat you. I swear I had nothing to do with it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Chris. There we go.
Boy, really, really lays it on. Really knows how to give a compliment, that Chris.
Paranoid. I feel like I was being cheated. You put two movies out.
Yeah.
I swear I had nothing to do with it.
Well, people also, you know, they think. People aren't as sophisticated. They think the people that were in the movie, you know, wrote the movie and made the movie and,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Distributed.
It helps with their suspension of disbelief when they're watching the movie, though.
At least he liked it, so,
yeah.
You know, there you go.
They're more gullible. Makes them go along with it a little better. Jill? She's sleeping?
Jill.
All right. Huh? We'll put her back on hold.
Do you do anything scary in the film that we can sort of reenact for her?
I don't do anything scary. No, right. I just react.
You get killed, though, right?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Not even at the end?
Nope.
That's good. It's pretty good.
Come back for the
sequel. I help save the day. It's good times.
Well, that means you're coming. Yeah, you got sequel. Are they talking about sequel?
Sure. Of course.
Yeah, they must be talking about it.
They talked about it before.
Mm.
Yeah, nowadays when they do a scary movie, they do try to work that into the contract, right?
Yeah.
They may even work three in there, right?
I don't know.
Perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
We'll see what happens.
Scott?
Yeah.
You're 32?
Yep.
What's up?
I just had seen kind of an interesting program on the Discovery Channel, one of those science, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on placebo surgery.
Right.
They had taken four individuals. Two they did the real surgery on. One they did, like, it was for rheumatoid arthritis.
Yep, you got to do placebo-controlled studies, even surgeries.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they did it in the surgery.
But the two guys who had the placebo surgeries done...
Got better.
Were better.
That's what's interesting about placebos, isn't it?
Yeah.
Placebo is fake for people who don't know what it means or younger.
And right, also they did another one with the depression medication.
Mm-hmm.
Told this lady that it was the end-all, be-all of...
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, those nutty broads who... You know, you could cure everybody who had chronic fatigue syndrome or Lyme disease. You could get them all with this.
Well, they do get with that, because then they get in all these sort of ancillary interventions. You know, they get
right.
all these goofy interventions, and it really is all just sort of a placebo.
But they
so
do
it's interesting
surgery,
how powerful it is, isn't it?
Well, they put a bandage over the person and stuff.
What they did was the doctor went through the same exact
put him out and everything
of doing the surgery, but you know he made the 3 incisions and then that's it. And then
doesn't do the repair.
Yeah, and simulated the repair, and then.
Yeah. And I'd be pissed they actually got to the incision part, you know, with the placebo.
Right, and they stitch him up, and he was able to walk whereas he hadn't been able to walk before with no pain.
Well, that's how those faith healers work, by the way.
That we're bringing that up also.
Yeah, there's tremendous power in that kind of thing, and that's when people say that things don't stand up to scientific scrutiny, and yet people feel better, that's basically what's operating.
Yeah, well, it's never underestimate that. Maybe I got the placebo teeth whitening today. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it really came out nice because my wife said, "And when do you go back to,
to get the whitening done?"
I'm like, "Well, that's it. Oh, it's not a 2 or 3 part procedure. No, it's not. No.
Why don't they just have you put those little things in that everyone
the tray?
Else does? Yeah,
not painful or expensive. Enough. Right, okay, that's okay. That's the way I heard it. That's the way it sounded to me. Zane?
Yeah.
You're 13?
Yeah. My question is, I had a bike crash, I don't know, probably about 4 months ago. And the seat came off the bike, and it had the frame of the seat, and the post came up.
Oh.
And it went in through the bottom of the scrotum.
Oh.
And went up to... on the left side by the penis, right up against the wall where those tubes come out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, wait a second. How did... this a bicycle?
No, they have a metal bar frame.
This is a bicycle?
Yeah, underneath the...
Okay, why do you say no?
Because all of our callers say no when we ask anything.
I know, because when you say I had a bike crash, that could mean motorcycle. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. So
was a bicycle.
That's right. That's right, it was. And the seat, now, what were we doing, jumping the bike?
Yeah.
And how did the seat come off?
I had just got a new seat on, and I guess I didn't put it on right, and it just sort of popped off.
Wow. In the air?
Yeah, I was jumping, and then I crashed whenever I came down, and it just went
up. So he's basically got, his nut got squished into his inguinal canal. Nice. Did you see a doctor?
Yeah, we went to the hospital. I got 7 stitches. They said the testicles were okay.
Nice.
Could you see your testicles through the scrotum? Was the scrotum open?
There was a hole, and like one of them was halfway hanging out. So
good times.
That's good times.
But my question is, there's a lump, like on the tubes, right up against the pelvic bone.
Yeah.
There's a lump right there, and I wondered if that would like if it wouldn't let blood flow to the.
No, that should there is such a thing, but. I doubt that's what that is. It's probably just a big old blood bruise, that kind of thing, like a big blood hematoma. I would suspect so, but you should see... Did you see a urologist? Is that the kind of doctor that sewed you up, or just an emergency room doctor?
No, just an emergency room doctor.
Did they do ultrasound on your testes?
Yeah.
They checked them all out with the ultrasound?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. See a urologist.
Is that why he sounds like a girl?
No. He sounds like he's like 12.
That ultrasound, that's like they... like in the automotive world... If you're rebuilding an engine, they would magnaflux or mic your parts, like your block and your head, to see if it had any microscopic little cracks in it.
Right.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
See if there's anything that can't be detected through touch.
Right.
That sort of thing. All right.
Painful.
You got to bolt that seat on.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Thank you for clarifying.
Wow, really?
I thought that next time we just go without the seat altogether.
Yeah, you learned a very valuable lesson, saying at the cost of your sack, but you do got to go ahead and torque down those nuts. Pardon the pun. Frank?
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Frank?
Let's just take this in for a second.
Hello.
Hold on a second, Frank. Hold on. You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are you calling from? A catering truck?
Alvaro Street?
Oh, no, I was a bar, but I came outside.
Mm-hmm. You're in a bar that plays that music?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's a horrible, horrible bar.
No, it's actually pretty good, but...
I know. I know you guys get tired of me bagging on the Mexicans, but they have the worst music. God awful. Oh, it's annoying. It is. It's like gives you a hangover even when you weren't drinking the night before. It's a crappy accordion. Oh, it's horrible, wretched music, and it all sounds exactly the same.
So what's up, Frank?
Well, I've been married for about a year and a half, and I've been cheating on my wife for about approximately 8 months already with the same other girl.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And?
And I want to know, like, what's the best way to break it off with this girl that I'm cheating on, because I've been, like, just banging her for about 8 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. But she accepts the fact that I'm married and, you know, whatever, this and that.
Yeah, but in her mind, you're going to break up with your wife because you, of course, fill her with all kinds of details about what a pain your wife is. She's awful to you.
Well, are you using protection with this girl?
Well, I'm not, but she said that she is, so.
Don't believe her.
Yeah, I just
do the pull-out method.
Bad news.
Oh, boy.
Bad news.
Yeah, Frank, you're not scared you're going to get her pregnant?
How about bringing an STD back to your wife?
Yeah, that too. That's the thing I was thinking about for a while.
Go ahead and put a condom on.
You got any kids?
No, well, my wife's pregnant now, and that's the reason why I just want to, like, just break it off.
Yeah, right. Why just tell her you're having a child and you're feeling guilty and you can't go on?
Who is this girl you're having the affair with?
Just a friend.
Oh. All right, you're going to have to stop, and you're going to have to tell her your wife's pregnant, and you got to hope that she doesn't get weird and want to tell your wife or claim she's pregnant.
And you got to realize that she's way more. She's not just a friend as far as she's concerned.
Wait, did you start sleeping with her when you found out your wife was pregnant?
No, I started sleeping with her the first day I went out with her.
Your friend?
Yeah, 8 months ago.
And how far along is your wife's pregnancy?
We just barely found out.
Okay. She just got pregnant. All right.
Yeah. What do you do, Frank? What's your job?
I work at the Postal Service.
All right. What do you do?
I'm a sorter.
You sort?
Yeah.
What does that entail? The stuff goes flying by you on a conveyor belt and you put it in, like, according to area codes?
Yeah, depending on what zip code it goes, you're supposed to just sort it out.
God, that sounds boring. Do they let you wear headphones?
Yeah, we can wear headphones and we can, take on it.
So you can listen to this all day?
Yeah.
You can listen to the wide, wide, wide spectrum of Mexican music?
All day long.
Oh, yeah. You get your choice. You get a choice between your big novelty guitar and your accordion, or then the accordion and the big bass. And it's horrible. Music sucks so bad. Oh, I used to work with Mexicans when I did construction, and they'd play that crap. And I'd like, is this song any different than the last song? Just with the crappy accordion. It would drive me insane. Let me tell you this about the Mexicans.
AM radio.
Listen to Mexican music, then look at the menu, the cuisine the Mexicans are into. Look, see what's on up for breakfast. See what's up for lunch. See what's up for dinner. You see, you got the beans, you got the rice, you got the cheese, you got the beef, you got the beans, you got the cheese, you got the rice, you got the beef, you got the tortillas, the beans, the rice, and cheese. That's every meal. Then you listen to the music. It's every song has that crappy accordion, and then you realize these people do not crave diversity. They like a schedule.
They like things that are familiar to them.
Familiar.
Yeah.
Super familiar. Mm-hmm. Super ultra familiar.
Identical, you might say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like kids. If you really think about it. You know, like to watch the same movies over and over again and eat waffles every morning and corn dogs every night.
Well, I think it's indicative of them as a culture. They're very, like...
Repetitious.
They have, like, great... No, they have, like, you know, an impeccable work ethic. They seem to be very family-oriented.
Very family-oriented.
Very family,
I think it's admirable.
14 kids. Very family-oriented.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to break the riddle of the Mexicans
but you,
one
but
day.
But, you know, you and I kind of differ on this thing. I kind of like their culture. I really do.
No, I do, too.
I like it as well.
But you kind of you did construction with them for too many years.
It's an easy culture to make fun of.
Yeah, yeah.
But all those guys were good guys.
Yeah,
that worked.
Yeah,
with. And they're sort of generous. They're sort of poor but proud.
Yeah,
kind of people. Yeah, I'm down with the Mexicans. You know, I like the rice and the beans and the beef. I like all that. Just that crappy music I can't stand. Brooke.
Hi.
You're 20.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
I just got a question. I've been doing meth since I was like 16.
Yeah, that's what you sound like. Don't you sound like it?
Yes.
Do I?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, when I got pregnant in 2000, and I stopped everything the night I found out. Mm-hmm. I even stopped smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to be taking Paxil at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped taking Paxil, and so my daughter was real healthy. And I didn't start smoking meth. I didn't start doing meth again until after she was a year old. But I'm like so obsessive about it that I go outside and sanitize everything. But I want to quit really bad. But like, I don't know. I can't sleep when I can't come down and quit. You know, I got a daughter.
Yeah, and you're unfortunately a loaded mom is an abandoning mom. Your unavailability, your lack of attunement because of the way that drug affects your brain is going to affect your child's development.
Well, actually, see, I'm more, I got OCD real bad. I was diagnosed with OCD a long time ago, and I'm like too good of a mom almost.
Yeah,
like,
well, just trust me.
Don't worry, baby.
Yeah.
I fire too much stuff, and you know what I mean?
Whatever you're doing, it's not attuned properly because your brain is altered by the drugs.
How old is she?
I'm not normal no more.
We hear that.
How old is she?
My daughter, she's 2, but she's, like, brilliant. And I'm, like, obsessive about, like, I got guilt so bad from doing that. You know what I mean?
Why don't you go get some treatment, Brooke? This is a treatable condition. Speed doesn't take a long time to get off of. You get in a structured environment, get some evaluation, get involved in the program, and get going.
Like an in-house program?
For a week or so. You can have somebody take care of the child for a week. That will not harm her. It certainly wouldn't harm her as much as having an intoxicated mom. Or just start going to NA in the community, Narcotics Anonymous.
My husband don't know that I do it.
Well, he doesn't.
Yeah, he knows something's up, I'm sure.
Well, maybe.
I'm really good at hiding it. I can fake sleep and stuff. I've been trying to quit. I've been wanting to quit. I tried like 4 times recently because I'm just so fed up with it, you know. And but just the whole everything. I just did it to have energy, basically.
What's your husband do?
He's an iron worker.
Yeah. Uh-oh. That's working around steel. Does the high-rise construction?
No, like rebar.
Oh, wow.
But we used to do it together. But we.
I was going
to
say, I bet you he's on speed, too. I bet you.
Who?
He's not.
He used to do rebar?
No, we used to do meth together. Speed together.
Oh, okay. So I was on the rebar.
No, that's before I got pregnant.
Is he smoking a ton of pot?
Is
he smoking a ton of pot?
That's what he likes, but he don't smoke it a lot because we don't have that much money for it.
He's still doing something, I guarantee you. So you coming forward with what you're doing.
Well, I confessed to him like about a month ago, and I told him I've been doing it for like a year.
Now he knows you're doing it.
Now I'm really good at hiding it, and he really believes me.
All right. Hey, Brooke, do me a couple of favors. Don't get pregnant again, please.
Oh, I'm not.
What are you doing?
Mentally, I can't handle
good.
A baby right now.
Us neither. What are you doing not to get pregnant?
I'm on birth control.
Good girl.
Yeah. I'm a good, person. That's the only legal thing I do.
No, we know. Listen. Look, but here's the whole thing. It is going to affect your child. It's going to affect your mothering ability. You got to get off. You got to get some help.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. It's fine. You just do it, okay?
So will I be normal again?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, right. You'll have permanent memory problems.
Not necessarily.
Speed, pretty much.
No.
I know my memory's messed up, but get rid of the anxiety and everything.
Yes, you get off that speed.
How long would that take?
A while.
10 minutes.
And they may give you some medication to help with that, too.
Okay.
Right. Whatever it is, you got to do it there, baby.
Take my daughter away from me, will they, if I tell somebody?
Just go to Narcotics Anonymous. Just go to a 12-step meeting. Start with that. Simple things.
Yeah, that speed's bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, steel worker working with rebar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's bad. You know what rebar is?
Mm-mm.
True.
Those metal bars that they set the cement pillars up with.
Right? Oh.
Yeah. That's in all formed concrete nowadays, you know. All right, let's take ourselves a little break.
Yeah.
You know what size number 4 rebar is, Drew?
You mean what, dimensions?
Yeah. Want to guess?
The diameter or the length?
Diameter.
4 feet? And it's 4/10? Four millimeters?
No, half an inch.
Half an inch.
It's 1 for every 1/8 of an inch.
Oh.
See what I'm saying?
Interesting.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight. Darkness Falls is the name of her latest movie, which is out in theaters as we speak. Number one last year or last week. And I bet it's going to be number one this week.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's hope. From your mouth to God's ears, right?
Usually. Usually how it goes.
Now, before we take this call, let's revisit what it was you were saying about your Mexican buddies. You like
Why?
Them.
Why?
Because this guy's going to take a shot. You like them.
Yes.
You like the culture.
I'm just saying, not a lot of diversity in the culture. That's all I'm saying. Julian?
Yeah?
You're 35?
Yeah, 35.
What's up?
Hey, well, Drew, you're doing some good work. I like what you do. It kind of helps me out for my stuff, too.
Cool, Julian.
And Adam, man, you're cool, man, but now that... Man, you're back on Mexicans. What's that about?
I know, but they're easy targets with that crazy music they play.
Crazy, yeah, the crazy music, but the food, that's what poor men eat.
Now,
well, you are in L.A. You haven't even checked out those Mexican road bands out there.
The Mexican road stands, what?
Rock bands.
Oh, rock bands, rock bands.
Ah,
so we're talking about food,
all
yeah.
Right. All right. Dude, why are you bagging on us so
well, well, listen, I'll have you know we've had Juarez on this show more than once. You hip to them? No.
Yeah.
Oh, you are? All right. All right. Well, listen. I've worked with the brown skinned man my whole life and have grown to love and respect them. But it's just the music with the accordion driven music that drives me nuts. And I know there's other forms, but I don't hear it on their stations enough.
You don't like polka music either.
No, that's what it is. It's polka music.
What's that really famous Spanish
music? Los Lobos?
No, they're like a rock band right now.
Juarez.
No, it's like a... No, it's not that. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts.
All right. What year? What
Didn't
year?
No, they're current, and they were actually just... In L.A. promoting something like 6 months ago. They had a huge outdoor something outside of
Tower. We had them
Tower.
Up here, remember?
All right.
We had that band up. There's another band we had
they're
up here.
They're really popular. Like, they're like the biggest rock band in Mexico.
We had them up here, remember?
No, I don't remember.
We had Aguars and we had this other band up.
One word name band. Ugh, or never mind.
AJ?
Asia,
all right.
Hi.
Hey, you're 19. What's up?
First time caller, by the way. Love you guys.
Great.
To you all the time. I'm like in a dilemma. I like this guy a lot. I've known him for like 4 years, and about a year ago he came out and said he was gay, but then he changed his mind and said he was bisexual. Thing is, I never seen this guy with the girl, and like I really like this guy, and I mean whenever I see him, it's like hormones go everywhere.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly what to do, and I don't know if I should like put a move on him.
It sounds like a dead end street.
Yeah, and also another thing, he's trying to set me up with his best friend, who is straight.
Yeah,
but his best friend, we call him Dirty Danny for a reason, and so I'm like, why? And oh God, I don't know what I'm gonna do. To tell you the truth, it's kind of confusing.
All right, well, listen, what's wrong with you, Asia?
What do you mean?
Sums up. What do you do?
Well, I'm unemployed at the moment and in debt.
Yeah.
What did you do?
That's a nonstop laugh riot.
I worked at a collision care center. I was a customer service representative.
All right. You work on cars?
No, I would answer phones and like deal with the insurance companies.
Right, but for cars.
Yeah, for cars.
Yeah. And you're out of work now. You're living at home?
Yeah, I'm living at home right now.
And why? Where's your dad? Is he out of the picture?
Yeah.
No, I have a real dad, and I have like a dad who doesn't know I know I have a real dad.
Oh, see what I'm saying?
Well, who you got? Where's your real dad?
My real dad lives in Chico.
Right. And
Chico, California?
Yeah.
And where do you live?
I live in Newark.
Newark, New Jersey. Right around the corner.
Get stones throw away. Yeah. You get by there on weekends, right?
Huh?
Yeah. And when's the last time you saw him?
I saw my real dad a week ago.
And when did he move out?
My dad had, basically my mom had an affair, and my real parents, my dad, who claims he's been there for me my whole life.
Yeah.
Basically, they split up, and then 3 months later, they got together, back together, and then all of a sudden, they found out my mom was pregnant, and my parents weren't together within 3 months when I was conceived, and I found that out from my aunt when she was really drunk one time, and basically...
Well, does anyone have any idea going on?
No idea.
Listen, goofball. How long has your dad been out of the house?
Out of your life.
And I don't want any of that, my real dad or my real dad. How long's your dad been out?
My dad's been for 17 years.
All right, since you were two.
Yeah.
Okay, dad's been out of the house all life. And that's why you're attracted to unavailable men.
Exactly.
Yeah, unavailable men are jerks.
Yeah, well, you're into guys who are either a-holes or unavailable or both.
Gay, yeah. The gay,
or gay.
Not available in the gay.
Okay. That's what you need to focus on.
This is a sidebar. If the guy you want to date is trying to set you up with somebody else, it's a pretty good sign that you shouldn't make the moves on him.
He's not into it.
Pretty safe bet.
Nothing turns a woman on, though, like you trying to pawn her off on one of your buddies. I mean, she gets so hot for you. That you could really fool most 19-year-old women by, if you were into the woman, you should just have your buddies. You should try to pawn them off on your buddies.
Good idea.
Like really into
strategy.
You. It would work most of the time, right?
Yeah, why not?
See, man, we can never be fooled because we have the ultimate equalizer, which is we just go based on looks completely. So it doesn't matter. It's like, who's pawning who off? Who's more interested in who? All the games, out the window. Whoever's better looking, that's who we want. True? I mean, at 19?
At 19, that's true.
It's done.
Yeah.
You can't fool us. There's no manipulation.
Yeah.
When did it change?
It probably changes. For some guys, it never really does change.
If it's going to change, it's late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
If it's going
to
change.
It's a good 10 years away from 19 before it starts to change. Yeah. And even then, you just get to factor in other things. But that's only like 15, 18% of the equation. Yeah. So women, do not assume that the same games that might work or manipulate you will work on guys. It never works that way. If a 19-year-old guy sees two girls and he thinks one of them is cuter, even marginally cuter than the other one, it's done. All the games, all the manipulations. Doesn't matter if this one has a master's in psychology and graduated university, you know, 3 years or then the other one just stays at home and strings beads and smokes weed and lives in her basement. Doesn't matter. If she's marginally better looking than the other one at 19, that's it. It's depressing, isn't it? Well, not for you. You're attractive, right?
Thank you. I don't know.
You'd be on the winning side of that equation. I mean, unless you hung out with super, super hot women, but you wouldn't make that mistake.
Wow. Brandon? Wow, that was sort of started as a compliment, and then you
were that's why I said,
so dissed me just now. What is up with that?
I said super, super, super hot. You see, I mean, that
right. So I'm hot, but
you're
not
hot.
Super.
Well, I'm talking about super hot. 6'2", you know, Elle McPherson.
Right. Supermodel hot.
Yeah, this is super, super,
super
hot. I gave you two supers in there.
I got two supers? Or the models?
No,
have
you
two
got
supers.
Hot.
I got hot.
You got hot.
And Elle McPherson's thing, like super, super hot.
Yeah, that would be the only thing that would trump hot.
Right. Elle McPherson. Giselle, basically.
And then the secondary compliment of you not being stupid enough to hang out with those right. people, I think, work, too.
Thanks. No, it's good.
Yeah, I know it sounded a little backwards, but it really, here's what I'm saying. There's a handful of people on the planet that are better looking than you. Not many, but a handful. But you wouldn't hang out with that very, very, very small minority.
She's too smart for that.
You're too smart. Too smart.
I see.
Too smart. Too cunning. Okay.
just keep talking about the Mexicans, all right?
Brandon?
Yeah. Adam and Drew, I love the show.
Well, watch this. Emma, you want me a little bit now, right? Because I thought that someone was hotter than you, right? A little bit?
A little bit.
All right. Go ahead, Brandon.
Emma, the movie was great. If you like horror movies, guys, go and see this one. It is one of the good ones.
Mm. Thank you.
I thought the child was great in it, and I was wondering how you liked working with him.
Do you have any like brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I do.
Nieces, nephews, young ones?
Child.
So,
So yeah, so that's it's you know it's like any day, you know, when they're on, they're on and they're fantastic, and when they want to be a kid, you know, you sort of want to strangle them. That's sort of what the experience is like.
Really?
Yeah, but he was an amazing kid. I mean, he was super.
What was he? He was 8 years old.
He was sanguine. He was really just like this remarkable 8 year old. I mean, he was. At most of the time, the smartest person in the room, like wise beyond his years.
I'm always amazed when kids turn in these incredible acting performances as well, and I start to think, well, maybe it's easier. Maybe they don't have to get outside of themselves so far, or maybe if they just have it, they have it. There's something pure about it.
Tapped in. I don't know.
But I've seen it many, many times in many of these horror movies. Where these kids, 6, 7, 8 years old, turn in these amazing performances.
He could do it, too. I mean, he would be giving me the worst time. In fact, it's funny you have that FHM stuff because my director, the kid, Lily, he's like, oh, who's playing my sister? And leaves me and say, hey, well, she's on Buffy. You know, here, let's go on the web and I'll show you some pictures of her. And, of course, the stuff he pulls up is that, the FHM in my underwear.
So the eight-year-old
kid that assumes I'm some, like, skanky, like, porn girl. So, for the entire shoot, you know, he would just keep telling me I was disgusting. You're disgusting. Oh, yeah? And he had this little lisp.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
underpants,
so,
lady.
You pose nude. I'm like, no, I was never nude. And I was like, ah. And it was pointless because the more you fed into it, the more he knew he was getting a rise out of you at that age.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd be sitting there trying to focus on something, and he would just keep telling me I was disgusting as they're rolling.
All right, so it's just a little snot.
He's
a midget, wasn't he? No way. No way.
Well, I hope it rakes in the cash, you guys.
Thank you.
Great movie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
See you later.
Bye.
We'll take ourselves a little break. Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight. Not quite as hot as Giselle. Is that who we're talking about?
I'm hoping, you know, Darkness Falls pushes me into the top 20 hottest chicks in the world. I was 86 last year.
Were you 86?
Yeah. I'm hoping to work my way up to the top 20.
It's very random.
And with endorsements like yours, I think I'm halfway there.
Oh, yeah. She is Indiana. That's it.
I could lead. Well, first off, the white teeth are not hurting. The constant complaining about
the
process.
Yeah, the whining. Oh, boy, that's great.
All right. Well, I'm in a little movie called Frank McCluskey CI, which just hit the video stores, as I understand it, a couple days back. So I got my own career going, sweetie. But
nice.
We could work it out. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Love Line, everybody. Emma and I were just talking about Super Chicken, the cartoon, off the air. Emma Caulfield is our guest tonight.
The greatness of Super Chicken.
And, let's see, I'm going to try to do the theme.
I'll bock-a-bock for you.
You bock-a-bock?
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
When do you think...
Bock-a-bock-a-bock-a-bock.
Wait a minute. I got to start. You got to come in.
Oh, wait, well, no, I thought it came
first. The theme song. Okay, maybe it does. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Go. When you think that you're in danger, being threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone who you can, wait, there is someone you can call who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call out for Super Chicken. But yeah, something overlooking, because he knew the job was dangerous when you took it. He will drink his super sauce and throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring them in alive and kicking. Just call out for Super Chicken. Call out for Super Chicken.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. So now what do you think about me?
I think it's great. I can't believe you knew all the words to that
Drew,
song.
Drew, you don't know Super Chicken?
Oh, no.
It's the best.
Fred?
I'm
not even familiar with him.
You've got to watch. There's only, I think, 20 episodes.
No, I was actually in an audience of kids who were test marketing Super Chicken before it aired.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Are they rerunning it or something?
No, this is like...
you were one of the kids?
Yeah.
That's
you were
awesome.
A kid who was test marketing Super Chicken?
Did you like it?
I was test marketed on, yeah.
What'd you think of it?
It looked retarded to me. Couldn't get it. Couldn't
what
get
were
it.
You, 9?
Yeah, I remember, I was like 8 years old, and they marketed that, and
Georgia the Jungle?
Like some sort of, it's
they
about...
They ran those together.
Another, it's a, it, an, a Georgia the Jungle, mm-hmm. and another, it, which would seem even more bizarre, like impossible.
Tom Slick?
No, and another, like, it's about time kind of thing. Some guy that gets frozen and comes back to life. And another with the...
Is that Land of the Lost?
Mm.
Oh, no, that was that family that was a prehistoric. No,
this is the guy that comes into the modern time.
True. Oh, okay. True in the test audience for Super Chicken. Jennifer?
That's very cool.
Jennifer?
Hello?
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. I was going to ask Dr. Drew if... about the risks of getting diseases even using condoms?
It's not foolproof. And if you're in high-risk situations, you know, it's not a completely perfect safety net.
You were a hooker for 5 years, it says?
I'm not a hooker. I'm an escort girl?
Escort.
Yeah.
How is that different than a hooker?
You escort them to the motel before you have sex with them.
Okay, yeah.
All right, and you did this for 5 years?
Yeah.
Did you make good money?
Yeah.
How much was like a normal trick, as we call it in the trade?
I make between $8,000 and $20,000 a month.
$8,000 and $20,000 a month. All right, you still doing it?
Yeah.
Do you have certain clients? I mean, you know, regular clients?
Yeah, I have my regulars. I still see new people, though.
Yeah, and so like, how much, is this for an evening, or is this pretty much just the sex? Like, how would it work?
It's for an hour.
An hour. But if I wanted 2 hours, I'd get 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
How much is it an hour?
It's, Albuquerque is a very economically depressed place, so it's $200 an hour.
Not bad. I mean, you could lose that at the blackjack table, no problem. You know what I mean?
Huh?
Betting on a football game. All right. And
you especially.
Yeah, you're still doing it, or you say you're not doing it?
No, I still do it.
Still do it. And you just use condoms each time?
Yeah.
The one that you really more easily can get is herpes. That one you can get. And the condom can fail, it can break, you can, you know, get exposed to the viral STDs. Pretty much anything you can get, obviously.
What do most guys want? They want oral sex, or they want intercourse?
Both.
They want both?
Yeah.
All right. You use the condom for the oral sex?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. You with the regulars, huh?
Yeah.
I'd talk her out of it. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Even, like, if it breaks or if it slips off, what, how easily are diseases caught?
Well,
I mean...
You got to have a disease first, right?
And
well, I don't have anything, but...
No, but the boy has, the male has to have...
I'm talking about the John there, right?
Yeah, so how easy can I catch...
Very easy. The viral ones like hepatitis C and HIV are not that easy to contract, though certainly it's possible to get that way. But the gonorrhea and the non-gonococcal urethritis and the LGV and the herpes and all that, very easy to contract.
Okay,
you will contract. If the condom breaks, you'll probably get
What's
it.
The LGV?
Lymphogranuloma venereum.
Uh-huh. Hey, so what's the profile of most of these guys? Married guys? Single guys?
Married businessmen, mostly.
Yeah, sort of guys don't want to get a divorce, but want a little new blood and have a little money in their pocket?
Yeah, I guess.
Average age? What would you say?
Probably 30 to 50.
All right. That's not an average age, but
it's a range.
It's a range. Okay. All right. You looking to get out?
Not really. I just wanted to know the risks.
Okay. Well, it's there's no telling, but you wear the condom, and like
there
I
are,
said,
there are risks.
Yeah, but hey, listen. If you're gonna make $20,000 a month. And you got a high school education. There's going to be some risk involved with whatever job that is.
Okay.
Well, I mean, listen, if you want to do, like, deep sea underwater welding or something, you can get $150 an hour as a guy with a, you know, high school education. But
it's risky.
There's going to be some risk. I mean, right. No one's going to pay you $20,000 a week to flip burgers.
Right.
In a nice, safe environment. And there's always grease fires in that environment, too.
A little bit.
Okay. People call the show, they want us to sort of quantify risk so they can justify their lifestyle.
What is my risk?
I'm having sex, I'm not using protection, but he's pulling out. What are the chances?
Do you find that's indicative of someone who's willing or at a point where they might want to change the behavior, or is it just curiosity?
They don't really want the answer anyway, because if you told them it was 100%, they'd go,
It's an interesting question. It sounds like a person who's looking to get out, but really what they're looking is to sort of justify and keep going on.
They're looking to have their thinking validated. It's like, this is okay, isn't it? Tell me it's okay. Right. And then if you try to talk about, well, you really can't tell me. They want to argue with you about it. So, all right, so forget it.
Right.
You know it's risky.
All right, but, you know, as they say in the Super Chicken theme song, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. That's right.
Well said, Adam.
That's
well said.
Very timely reference.
We'll be back.
Well, that about does it. Emma Caulfield, thank you so much for coming
in here.
It was really a blast.
Time.
I appreciate you coming in. I know you have to get up very early in the morning to film Buffy. And I guess Adam has cursed your movie, which is a good thing. It means it will continue to succeed. And hopefully it'll be number one again next week as well.
Thank you.
Anything coming up people should look for you in?
I'm finishing up at least for sure my last season on Buffy for the next few months. And then we're sort of in the midst of working on stuff right now. I'm actually hoping to start this documentary that I want to do as soon as I wrap.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no time to hear about it. I want to hear about it off the air. But we've got to go. And tomorrow night, see if I can read that far. We've got Adam Rodriguez from CSI Miami. Then on Wednesday or Thursday, depending where you're listening, Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then James Marsters coming in from Buffy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've been up here a few times. But until then, we'll see you again in about 22 hours. This is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Just call out for Super Chicken. Call out for Super Chicken.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.